You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It is the Anfield Wrap after Liverpool have got beaten 0-0 at Goodison Park by a well-organised Everton side who had a good plan as to how they're going to get 50 yards up the pitch. Not that good a plan as to what they were going to do with the next 50, but they did have one or two opportunities. It is and will be acknowledged over the course of this. Liverpool, on the other hand, appeared to have an odd shape, to say the least, especially into the second half. We'll be talking about that, a lack of control as well. We'll talk about the incidents, chances to win the game for both sides and composure around the penalty area. The performances from a Liverpool point of view, probably going to focus in on Gomez, Salah, Nunez, Milner and Diogo Jota, and we'll discuss the wider league situation. City dropping points as well, nothing gone, but we need to improve soon. I'm joined by Robbie O'Neill, by Mo Stewart and by Stu Wright for the next 45-50 minutes or so on all of this. And we'll just start off with the harsh reality, Mo. It's two dropped and a point at Goodison's never a bad point for a variety of reasons on the one hand, but it becomes a bad point in the context of the fact that Liverpool have now only won two of the first six.
Yeah, but I mean, even the point at Goodison being a good one, that's normally in the immediate aftermath, as in like just getting out of the place. The next day, we're normally like, we should have won that game. And we're exactly like that again today, because the frustration thing doesn't come from Liverpool not doing enough to win like it was at Old Trafford. The frustration comes from Liverpool doing enough to win, but not actually doing the thing. Getting all the way up to the point, but they're not doing the thing. I mean, we're going to kind of talk over the chances. There were multiple chances that Liverpool had that were presentable at best. And even just aside from those chances in the individuals, we've played enough of these games and we've seen enough derbies to know that it's all about taking advantage when you're on top. And Liverpool had two very clear periods of time where they were the better team. They were in control of the game, failed to take advantage, and allowed Everton to build confidence from poor mistakes and from their own chances. And so we found ourselves in a situation where we were still fighting in a game that we should have won. And unfortunately, we couldn't win it. And even this early on, you can say that there's lots of games to play and lots of things to play for. But considering how many points that we've already dropped, we would have to be absolutely perfect for a very long time to make up that shortfall.
I want to talk about, Robbie, the idea of not just the chances that were missed, but the chances to create chances. So a really good one is if Kostas Tsimikas, straight after half-time, finishes that, it's a great shot because the ball's coming at him with a ton of pace. And he takes it on, and it's a really acute angle. But it doesn't take much for it to go into the roof of the net, and he slides over in front of us, we all feel great.
Yeah.
But the issue isn't so much the idea that he missed it. It's the idea that he can take a touch. He can make the angle more profitable for himself. He can slide it into the path of, e.g., Luis Diaz, who's just to the right of him. You know, the actual chance itself is not a high-value chance. It's not a gimme, but the situation was a gimme. And what was frustrating to me watching the game is I think Liverpool managed to get themselves into, and Everton did a couple of times in the second half as well, it's worth saying that, but Liverpool managed to get themselves repeatedly into situations that were all but gimmies and managed not to actually get it handed to them.
And I think this is actually part of our wider problem at the minute. I think historically, you know, we've been referred to as mentality monsters, etc. Our mental fortitude in moments like that has been the difference in what has won us trophies, what has won us leagues. That has been the benchmark of this club. I think yesterday, what we've seen is, one thing that Liverpool have lacked this season is control. And I think yesterday, control isn't just about getting hold of the midfield and like keeping hold of the ball and making the right decisions and the right passes. Control is also about, in those moments, as you mentioned, like Tsimikas, it's taking your time when it's there to be taken, knowing that the options are available instead of just thrashing at it. Because, like, you can see exactly what the lad was trying to do in that instance. But it was just, as you said, he had the opportunity to take that touch and he didn't. And I think there was moments in the game where we were just misjudging the situation consistently. And I think in a game like a derby, you're not able to do that because it's high octane. And if in a game like that, it's key that you can kind of like, you can rise above the more almost like palpable adrenaline of the occasion and just keep a cool head. And unfortunately yesterday, I just don't think we did.
The keeping of the cool head, the control, all these things, I think, as Robbie's arguing there, are linked. Composure, control, the very, very similar values, they breed one another. And that was what was just a little bit odd about the game. I felt like Everton was ceding that to Liverpool at times. We're almost saying, go on. It wasn't quite put us out of our misery because Everton were never actually that bad. They were never actually that miserable. But it wasn't far away from it. It wasn't far away from you're going to score the opening goal here, go and score the opening goal. And Liverpool don't do it. And I think there's lots of different ways to control the game. You can control the game without a ball. You can control the game with a ball. You can control the game in terms of the fact that you control it in the scoreline. And Liverpool managed to effectively not do any of the above options, Stu. And that's one of the reasons why, whilst, you know, their XG's over two, they don't really deserve to come away with the points in any sort of marked way.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I don't think we're a very good team at the moment, Neil. And considering that, you know, where we were last season, you know, fighting for absolutely every trophy to the last possible moment, it's quite the drop-off. Quite the drop-off. So I think what you're seeing yesterday, that lack of control. I mean, yesterday's game, I think, was probably the most obvious game where there was a lack of control. But I'd argue, with the exception of Bournemouth, there's been a lack of control in all of the games. You can get a false impression of the fact that we might have 70-odd% possession in a game. We might have almost all the ball. What I am noticing is that when teams are breaking against us now, we're giving away. Mm. We used to give away opportunities. We've done that for quite some time, you know, since the high line, and if not not before. But the quality of the chances that we seem to be giving away, that scares me. And other teams notice it. And on the flip side, we can have the ball all day. I was interested in what you said there about the pass before the shot, we're getting into those positions. I was thinking on my way here about actually how difficult it is now to see how Liverpool find a way to score. And I'm thinking, I'm sure we'll have the Mo Salah conversation in a bit. But other than him, I'm thinking, I feel like Michael Owen saying this now, but he was in the Pomo position, and how are we getting it to him? Because I don't see it happening. I don't see people in positions where they're likely to score goals, and I certainly don't see us feeding the ball into those areas. We seem to be doing everything but. So when we're not creating palpable opportunities and we're giving away a higher level of opportunity, doesn't matter how long we've got the ball. That's not control.
I'm less worried about that because I do think the Nunes will eventually start to get into those positions. Mm. I do think that is his job in the side. And once he becomes a bit more aware of when to go and what we're doing in front of him means in terms of his triggers, that'll be all right. But we also have to remember that Firmino did have a blowing back header from the 6-yard box. So we are trying to get in those positions. We're just not doing it as regularly. The thing for me that I feel like is the biggest difference is what you said before, but in terms of what happens when we lose the ball. That's where it all goes wrong. I think we have underestimated to a certain extent some of the defensive work of Henson, because I remember looking back to when we were imperious, when we were winning trophies, a lot of people was talking about how much work he does for Trent, for example, in terms of covering around in that right back area, in terms of his ability to spot danger before it's happened, is in always knowing where he needs to be in order to, if that goes wrong, I need to be here. I don't know if it's just simply him changing from the right eight to the left eight has changed that.
And I also think he'd be crap defensively himself this season.
I mean, obviously he's not doing the same things, but I think it was notable. Like, I rewatched the whole game again this morning, and most of the chances in the first half for Everton came from our lack of awareness once we lost the ball. Mm. Now, whether that is people running off the back, I mean, obviously Carvalho there were lots of times in that where he was at fault, but we have to remember he is still, he's been playing as a forward for most of the time. We know how different it is to be a midfielder in this team. We know how long it takes to learn the midfield in this team. So there's mitigating circumstances. But where if you could kind of like freeze frame the moment where we lose the ball and then just watch all the midfielders, the people are running off the back of them. They're not getting back into position quickly enough. They're not able to cut off these attacks early enough, which is why the teams are getting close to our goal and getting more attacks.
We reached a point, I actually thought, in that second half, Robbie, where I was concerned when we got a corner.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was terrified. The first break in that second half, I think it was 5-on-2, 5-on-3. And I was like, how on earth have they been able to like instigate a situation where they have that overload? I mean, I've watched Everton on more than one occasion this season, and what my hope going into yesterday, and actually in a way it's played out for us, was how impotent they are. Because they going forward, they don't offer nothing really. And maybe this is me underestimating them. I had no inkling that they'd be able to hit us on the break the way they did from that. There was two corners yesterday.
I think maybe three in the end. There's one that we get away with a bit earlier.
Yeah.
But there's the breakdown from the corners. There's three of them carrying the ball out from the edge of their own box, being able to share it amongst all of them. There's one where Milner tries to take someone down. Fabinho gets a retrospective yellow after the move's died on one. Yeah. There's another one in there as well that leads to the more pay efforts. It's unbelievable, Robbie. These are our corners.
Yeah.
And I've seen us do this to other teams. Yeah. This is a Jurgen Klopp thing. Watching it be done to us, I am not in favour of, and certainly not at Goodison Park.
No, and it's part of like, as Stu pointed out, we're not a very good team at the minute. And I think a lot of that comes down to like the actual kind of intensity is talked about a lot. But we look slow. We do not look like a team that is playing with pace and danger. We look like we are in danger, and that is not a good place for us to be in.
The shape's part of this, Stu, where the shape in both halves, listen, you know, we know that he's got fitness levels to manage, he's got an injury issue, so we know that, so we can sort of, we can nod our heads at that. But we've discussed this season that, you know, has there been a formation shift? Is it 4-3-3? Has it gone to 4-2-1-3? What is it? There's no messing around. Second half, it's 4-2-4. It is definitely 4-2-4. Before then, it's Elliott and Carvalho in the middle. Maybe he just thought, for all I'm getting from Carvalho here in the midfield centre, I might as well whack another forward on and shrug my shoulders. And there's also a thing where he's had a lot of nil-nils at Goodison, to be fair to the manager, and he's probably thinking in advance here, I don't want another nil-nil at Goodison. It's ironic that he ends up getting one because he did everything in his power not to have one. And I mean that going in both directions, to be fair to him. You know, but the shape's just... time sure in the second half, I just think we're just crying out for another midfield body here. This is agonising, and I don't quite understand who the shape's meant to help. I didn't feel like it was helping Nunez. It certainly isn't helping Salah. I don't know if it's helping Diaz, and so I've become a bit like, who's this for? What's this for? And maybe we'll see. Maybe it'll come, but watching it emerge is tough.
Yeah, it doesn't feel, I'm sure it is, you know, but it doesn't feel very strategic. You know, it just feels like lashing another lad up front, because if we put more bodies in the box, it'll bounce to one of us. It's got more chance of bouncing to one of our lads. And that's genuinely how I'm feeling. That's our most likely way to score a goal at the moment. It's scruffy as anything. Interesting that you said about, you know, the manager couldn't have done any more. You said that yesterday as well, didn't you? And I think there is something he could have done more. He could have moved Mo Salah from the moon to the penalty box. That would have been sound. But I don't understand this, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself.
You want, but he spoke about it afterwards, and he doesn't think it's any different. He thinks there's a couple of times where he'd like Mo to come a bit more central himself, but he doesn't think it's any different. Mm. But it looks different to me.
Someone's doing something. Whether it's from the manager or whether it's from Mo. I heard Rob say yesterday that he thinks Mo's in his head a little bit, and he's not quite right. I don't know, but it just seems to me one way to get him right, if he's not confident, is get him in the box. And if the ball is going to fall to anyone in the box, if we're going to put more lads in the box, can one of them be in? This seems insane. To be honest, and this is the thing that I'm really worried about. Mo, you said there about Nunez. You rightly said about Nunez that you're sure that he'll come good and whatever, and that it'll start paying off for him. But I'm not. And I should be, because you know, I'm a Liverpool fan. We go behind, we get behind our players. I don't like getting on the backspace. I'm certainly not on his back, but I'm nervous. Mm. I'm nervous that this, we've changed everything. And I don't see a big enough body of evidence to support why. I will say the body of evidence that I saw in the two games against us last year were phenomenal. Mm. Were brilliant. I'd have carried them back from Benfica on my shoulders. But Rob gave him man of the match, I think, yesterday on the on the post-match pint. I'm not seeing it. I'm genuinely not seeing it.
It's not like Gubbins to make a big shout, he can't back
I
up.
Mean...
but I'm not seeing maybe what someone else is seeing. I wouldn't mind if anyone around the table can explain to me, but I'm not seeing yet enough for us to make the decisions that we're making. And Robbie said before, rightly, that we look slow. But I think part of the reason we look slow is... I think everyone's second-guessing themselves. They don't know what where to pass to, where they're going.
The thing with Nunes as well, I think an aspect which we're not seeing is how quick he is, and I think it's because teams were defending so deep against us. And I think when he was in Benfica, I think when he was in Portugal, games were probably a bit more open. So when they've been looking at him, they've been able to see that when teams are stepping up, he can, if there's any long balls or...
Certainly in the Champions League.
Exactly, he can get in behind. Because he is lightning.
Yeah.
What I was concerned about yesterday was actually his kind of his aerial ability. In terms of, there was a header, I think the first chance he had, there was a cross come over. And it was just set up for him perfectly. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't even hit the target with it. And I was just like, oh, God. And I think what I think is, because I'm quite concerned about, I think he'll come good, but I think he's a potential project at a time that we don't need one. I think we need a
right. One thing that I think we need to start with is we're kind of looking at this backwards. We haven't changed our team for Nunes. We've changed our team because we had to change our team because they were all getting older and they're all eventually going to leave. So that was just an inevitability. Mm. That was kind of pushed forward by Sadio deciding that he wanted out then. The decision to go with Nunes over other people, that's a different matter. But essentially, it's not like we've just thought, okay, let's just break this up because we're bored of it. That's not really what's happened. In terms of his integration, again, like... The losing three games at that time was just the absolute worst thing that could have happened to him. Even if he'd been injured, it probably would have been better than that. So when he came back, he was snatching the stuff. He was over-eager at times and he was too passive at times. It was a really weird kind of mix.
I liked it when he worked back and won it.
Yeah.
My probably favourite bit of the match, actually.
Well, no, my favourite bit of the match is when Patterson knocks him into the corner flag and he just laughs it off. Because in my mind, I was just like, oh, thank God for that. But... I think there were lots of things where I think he had, what, 7 shots overall in the game. There's 5 of them that he could have done better with. Mm. And that kind of stuff is probably the only thing in terms of volume finishing accuracy, that kind of thing. That's probably the only thing that I'm concerned about. It may be, again, you could put it down to a state of mind. I just think that at the moment, we're in a situation where every good team, I was saying this to you before, Rob, every good team gets to a point where they're going to have to replace the good players.
Do you think he's in the game enough, though? Like, I'm looking at him going, I know you want to play on the shoulder, lad, but there's no space in behind, so just mix it up a little bit. You're a big lad, it'd be great if every now and again, just come to your shoulder and play someone else
don't think he's. I just don't think he's far enough in his time at the club to be making those off-the-cuff decisions. I think he's still in a point of the time where he's taking everything in.
It's the sixth league game of the season, and it's his second start.
Yeah, exactly. I think... The danger, because of the situation of the season, is to make this conclusion about him too soon. And I think we are in danger of doing that. But, however, I do think to say that there are no problems is equally...
It's not a conclusion as well. I'm just saying I'm nervous. I'm very emotional today, Mo.
No, I get that. I'm trying to help you, SJ. And going back to something else you were saying and what you were saying, Neil, about the reason for the shape. I feel like the only real reason I could see for that shape is Firmino. Because, I mean, if you think about the idea of Nunes not really getting into the box enough, Salah being too stuck out wide. Firmino is supposed to be the link between those two guys. Mm. It's supposed to be the reason for potentially playing four forwards, as I saw it, was that you get to do the Firmino bits, but you still get to have a penalty box presence, the Pomo guy, as you were calling him before. It didn't work out that way, but at least I can see what the plan is. I think part of the reason it didn't work out is because the guys are too, like, Harvey Elliott had a really good game, I thought, like, in terms of what we want him to do in that little right-sided triangle. Mm. When it became a two, it was a lot of a deal. It was a completely different game for him. And stretched. It was stretched.
The thing is, though, Mo, and this is why, you know, and listen, there's a game of football happening. It's happening at Goodison Park. They are obviously so buoyed by the Morpay chance.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And it's worth pointing that out, that until the Morpay chance, the manager's made the change and it's all Liverpool. Yeah. So well in the manager. Do you know what I mean? I want to say well in the manager there to then say the opposite of that. Elliot barely kicks the ball second half. Mm-hmm. He barely gets on the ball, not least because now Firmino is just 10 yards in front of him asking for the ball, and then it progressed further. So you've managed to, we're structurally weaker, mm-hmm, in one sense. We've also, it ultimately just doesn't look right, and it, yes, just doesn't function right. Elliot's not pulling to the left, so we've now got sort of no real concrete left-sided presence, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. Everything's sort of skewed to the right. But simultaneously, we're not seeing more Salah. We're seeing a fair bit of Firmino getting on the ball across the course of that second half. We're not seeing very much Elliot getting on the ball in that second half. We're not seeing very much Trent get on the ball before he goes off, although we are on top in that period in the second half. We're not seeing much of Mil. It's just this weird...
It's not worked.
Something's just not worked. And also, and this is the point here, when it got tested, it collapsed. So for 15 minutes, it looked great. But we're back to the now legendary Mike Tyson quote, which is what, you know, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And for 15 minutes, we didn't get punched, yes, in the face. Yeah, yeah. So we had a really good plan. And then we got punched in the face and they went, hang on, it's easy to punch these in the face. Yeah, and we went, whoa.
Well, I mean, we did get punched in the face. To continue the analogy, it's almost like we kind of punched ourselves in the face,
yep,
by taking off Trent and putting Mill on. And I wonder, without that particular decision, how the rest of it would have looked. Because it felt like we were very much on top. It felt like in that period, the first 20 minutes of the second half, not only were we on top, but Everton didn't know how they were going to get to our goal. And then as soon as Milner came on,
they stopped being able to get out. First off, they could get out. They played quite cleverly to be able to get 50 yards up the pitch. They couldn't get out. I want to come back to everyone on the Milner sub. So I'll start with you, Mo, as you're the first one to have brought it up. So you're in the hot seat. It's within it. I think Milner just, first and foremost, just doesn't play at all well. But what's striking about it is, if he wants to... So, there's a desperation for him to rotate and rest his fullbacks. Mm. He's got the five subs and he's doing it. I feel as though he's partially doing it because he's got the five subs. If he was sat here, he might say, listen, lad, you're not seeing Trent's fitness data. Mm. I am, and I'm concerned. So it's possible, so let's bear that in mind. But I felt as though it was one where, well, this is what we've just agreed we're doing on the hour mark, so we're going to do it anyway. My second question then is, if you are doing that, the option isn't solely only James Milner. He makes that decision. And then he can also make another one if he wants to correct it at any point, and finally does do so on the 79th minute, but then stable doors and horses are bolted.
Yeah, I mean, that was almost like the 15 minutes it took to realise that, you know, come off his high horse and see what was actually happening in front of him. But yeah, that's the frustration part, is the fact that if you're going to make that, I don't know Trent's sports science numbers. I know how difficult it is for us to play without him, so I'm always risk averse in terms of taking him off. But Matip is on the bench.
Yeah.
Put Matip on, put Joe Gomez at right back. That's the move. And I've written lots over the last few months about Milner in terms of where his best position is. I think the days where he was better at fullback than he was at midfield is now over, because he is just a target for everybody. And we saw it when we played Manchester City for Phil Foden. We're seeing it now with Everton and Anthony Gordon. And like, he came onto the pitch. Within the first minute of him being on the pitch, Gordon had absolutely skinned him and got in the ball down the right-hand side. And at that moment, Joe Gomez knew that he was then doing the job of two players. And that not only affected him in terms of what he had to do, it affected him in terms of being able to progress the ball forwards. And everybody's job was compromised by that one decision.
I really felt for him. It's not, you know, it's not his fault.
No,
he's getting put in that position, isn't he? And I completely agree with every word that Mo's just said. His days of being able to cope in a fullback position, particularly away from home, particularly against when their best players, the wide players as well, and the nippy. I mean, you were throwing him to the lions. Mm-hmm. I think there really, and if he's going to play anywhere, it's got to be in midfield. And, you know, obviously, as we've said, it was corrected a little bit later on. But, you know, for the grace of God, we could have been a goal or two down at that point. Mm-hmm. We very nearly were. So
it's, for me, it is this, if you're also going to play 4-2-4, basically, the other thing here becomes, do you really need the right back to be an attacking right back? At that point, that's the other thing about the Gomez move. The potential of putting Gomez there is all Gomez has got to do, and I've just talked about it, is get the ball up the line in that bit. If it's happened on 60, get the ball to Harvey Elliott and let Harvey do the next bit. And Gomez is more than capable of passing the ball himself, I hasten to add. But, you know, if that's your concern for me, Robbie, you just go up the line. It's an option that's there for you, especially if you're skewed that way and you've got this many lads on who are all attacking.
It was kind of the obvious move as well, I think, because Klopp's comments after the game where he hooked Trent because, and a quote, I think he said he just wanted fresh legs. I thought Trent was terrible, to be honest. I think that's when we were talking on Friday about it, the intensity needed in a derby and trying to match, like, it was kind of the vibe was if you can match Anthony Gordon's intensity on Derby Day, we'll be fine, because you knew that he was going to throw everything about. Yep. Nobody did, and I think Trent in particular was the one player I was kind of hoping would, and he didn't. So he hooks Trent because he's tired, which, you know, is concerning, because we've signed the right back we've signed is, I don't know when he's going to be available, because he's got growing pains. And by all accounts, he is an attacking right back, isn't he, Ramsey? But Gomez he's back in the last season when he came in at right back, he more than showed that he's capable, because he you can play him as a defensive right back, but he can get up the line himself. So it was kind of wild to me that he didn't go with him. And I don't know, man, it was like as we pointed out the first time Gordon got in and Milner just went down, but it was just you could see how the game was going to play out at that moment, and it was like, it was just awful.
But that had a knock-on effect, because 4 minutes later, when we have the corner that turns into the Mope chance, rather than, like, an experienced guy like James Milner knows, when, I don't know who it is who's running with the ball out for him, but he's approaching him, but he should know that at that point we've got lots of players committed to not just the penalty box, a 6-yard box, because we've got a corner. So the job to do there is to kind of jockey him a little bit, slow the move down, try to close the space down so the other guys can catch up. But Milner, who already seen himself skinned by Gordon, knows that I'm probably not going to be able to do that with this guy. He's just going to breeze past me. So then he finds himself diving in, doesn't work, and then suddenly we've got the attack of the Light Brigade, or whatever you want to call it, coming towards us. And once it happens at one time, there's no one really there to kind of say, okay, we need to find a different position for this. Because all of the times when the ball comes on the counter-attack, it's through Milner losing a duel, either on the right side or in the middle. And the second and third times it happens, you'd think that there would be better protection. But no, in all three times, we've just basically got people herring after each other. The third time, because it doesn't come from a corner, it just comes from a counter-attack, that thankfully that means that Matip and Van Dijk are back there. Because the Mope chance, you look at the Liverpool back three, and it's Harvey Elliott, Salah and Joe Gomez. And you're thinking, well, I mean, if they stop there, then only Gomez is going to be able to get a tackle in. Like Harvey and Salah, they're there for bodies. They're nuisance. They're not defenders. But then the third time, when it's Gomez, Van Dijk and Matip, they don't even get the ball into the penalty area. That's the difference. When you have defenders and a structure there to deal with counterattacks. And yeah, I think we kind of all can understand. Does anyone know why Curtis Jones didn't play, by the way?
He wasn't on the bench either, I don't think.
No.
So I don't know. I was expecting him to be on the bench, frankly, in the context of this, and he emphatically wasn't.
Because I think if he was available, then Milner doesn't get on the pitch.
I honestly think Milner would have preferred to play in goal than at right back, honestly. I think he's at that point now where he's thinking, the manager's killing me here. In a game like this.
I actually think as well, Stu, with Milner, because of his age, it, you don't want to create a situation where people are pointing at him saying he's finished, because I don't think for a minute he's finished.
No.
I think he's still got a lot to offer us in the middle of the park. I think he should have started yesterday in the middle of the park, and in a way, like, he's still one of the fittest lads at the club, But he's, but just because you're one of the fittest doesn't mean you're one of the quickest. You know what I mean? And I just thought it was like, I mean, I love Jurgen Klopp, but that was one of the most glaring mistakes I think I've seen in the 7 years at Liverpool.
It's just frustrating because, like I said, I, up until that change, Everton had no idea. No idea how they were going to score. And not only did they then have the ball over the top for them to run onto and battle with him, but you saw around the goal that they didn't, thankfully, score. That ball, with a lot of confidence on Cody being free in the middle, like, the ball comes over the top, Milner misses it, and it goes to Mope. And it's like, you can say, yes, he's not the tallest of the guys, but that's just about timing the jump. Like, essentially, the ball doesn't go too high that he can't head it. He just doesn't time his jump well. And again, is he just new on the pitch? But when you've got opponents who have got multiple ways to target a player, then you, and we knew that that was going to happen, then you have to wonder about that decision.
Next thing along the line, Stu, is there's a couple of bright spots, I'd argue. You know, Liverpool use all five subs and they are bringing on. And obviously, by extension, taking off good players. They don't use Artur in there either. You know, he's on the bench, so there's an unused sub. You know, he's got caps for Brazil. That's progress in terms of having lads back and having options. It was good to see Jota, it was good to see Matip, to be quite honest with you, in different ways. But it was good to see Jota especially, in that I thought a lot of what he was doing was a bit scruffy. He looked like a footballer who hadn't played much football, but he also looked like a lad who understands what his movement is, what his drive is. And in the end, he is unlucky to score. He probably should score, but he is in the right position to score. And that was that. It was one of those where that was genuinely gratifying.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's like, Jota's great, but there's been times, there's things in his game over the last year or two where I've gone, you know, I just wish he could do a bit more of this, do a bit more of that, and all. But he scores goals. And, you know, now I'm thinking, my God, he's got to be the one to lead the line for Liverpool. I'm so glad to see him back. And, you know, I just really hope there's no further hiccups with his injury. You know, so hopefully it's smooth sailing for him now, because he makes such a difference. There's a real hunger. You know, the lads have spoken about the intensity being missing as well. And he brings it. He really does bring it from the front. He brings a sense of purpose with everything that he does. And he's at it. You know, to use a Graham Soonessism, he's at it. And yeah, so absolutely made up to have him back. And he made a difference.
He made a difference. I also thought, even though I think, and this is another point here, I thought Diaz looked shattered.
Yeah,
I think Salah's a bit odd in that I think it's very hard to tell when Mo Salah's tired. It'd be reasonable if he was, don't get me wrong, but I think it's hard to tell when Mo Salah's tired. Diaz, even though he was still involved, and I thought Jota got him more involved when he came on, if anything, it just served to underscore the fact that he looked shattered, if you know what I mean, because he was suddenly more involved in the game, and there was almost a part of him that was like, is there a way I can't be here, gaffer, for a period? Because Jota, I thought Jota really electrified that left-hand side.
I did. I think the one thing I was slightly disappointed in about when he came on is I wanted to see him on the pitch with Nunes, because I'm intrigued to see how them two can dovetail as a kind of like a little enlarged partnership in a way. I don't for a minute think we're going to start playing with a two up top, but I think with the both of them and the attributes they've both got, there's no reason why one of them can't play off the left. And I was kind of surprised, because did Diaz finish the game? I was actually quite surprised, because of how goosed Diaz looked, that he didn't hook Diaz as opposed to Nunes. And because I think that would have been a perfectly viable thing. Like, we talk about Nunes's pace. If you can get him in down that left hand side, one thing I think that we have lacked in a way is, I think Diaz is a brilliant dribbler, but he can't, like, he doesn't seem to get away from a man in as an explosive fashion as Sadio Mane did. Whereas I feel like with someone like Diaz, with Nunes, because he is so quick, if he can get a ball in behind in that channel, I think he's got the pace in which that he can burst through. It's a massive plus to have him back, though, to have Jota. I've always been a bit like stupid aspects of his game, like his touch, where I think you can improve upon that. And I think because he's such a good finisher, if he gets his touch right, that's just going to make him even more dynamic in the box. But yeah, I think whilst that also helped us, it was kind of like, you could then kind of, I thought it was also hindrance in that you could then see everyone else trying to work out what to do with him on the pitch in a way. And I just, I think that just speaks to how wide the problems again.
Yeah, and that's not something that gets solved quickly. That's just people getting used to each other.
Yeah.
And I think it will be interesting to see what the forward line looks like for Napoli, because like, I'm like you, I would have expected Diaz to start Napoli, and so I would have been the one thinking he was the one who'd come off. But now that Jota's back, you wonder whether or not Klopp would be tempted to go with him there. Mm. I mean, Carvalho might have had a chance if he wasn't, maybe. We don't know where this knock goes. But the beauty of having the five forwards back is you can start to freshen it up. You can start to, if someone's not doing well, then the next person comes in.
That's it.
And towards the end of last season, when everyone was clicking, that was a big strength of ours, being able to bring two quality forwards off the bench at any time in any game. Mm. And I think we can get back to that. It's just, this is just that horrible period that we have to go through. Now, what I was hoping would happen during this period is that Mo Salah would be doing what he did this time last year and just banging in goals and making everyone forget about all those problems. But that hasn't happened. So no. We're staring right in the face of all these problems.
On Salah, Stu, he's got to think about how he's getting him off the moon, to use your earlier expression. Salah's got to think about how he's getting himself off the moon. I think when he gets the ball at times, he's creating more chances than anyone else in the league. He sets up with a beautiful ball, the Firmino chance. It's gorgeous in the second half. It really is. It's inch perfect. This isn't about... I think there might be a little bit of an odd quasi-confidence thing maybe with Salah. I just think it's more... I just also get the impression he's just not entirely sure what he's meant to be. I think he's lacking in confidence in terms of when the football's at his feet. I think he's lacking in confidence in terms of am I on the right bit of the pitch here? Is this, and that's the sort of impression I get. It needs to get sorted out.
Yeah, that's spread right across the pitch to all the players, hasn't it? I think Salah's just a perfect example of that, of another player who looks not confused but second guessing himself enough or for enough of a moment that the moment's gone. And the opportunities, you know, reduced. I think that one of the things with the that I worry is masking, or is being used as an understandable excuse for the problems that we're having at the moment is the lack of choices that we've got in midfield, the Thiago issue, all that type of stuff. but we never had Thiago 3 years ago. No. How have we got to a point where we don't have a control over a game and we can't play players in and without this one fella? And I know if we've got other lads missing as well, but I think even when they're back, what I'm worried about is exactly what you've just said. Mo Salah doesn't know necessarily what he's doing. The lads who were trying to feed the ball into the front players don't quite know. As you rightly said, Mo, it takes time, players to get to know each other and all that. But, you know, I think Rome's burning.
For me, the way forward is Harvey Elliott. The main positive thing about that game in terms of Salah was that his link up with Elliott in the periods of the game where Liverpool played well, his link up with Elliott was good. There were a couple of times where he got into that position we want him to be on the right hand edge of the penalty area. He just didn't quite execute the way that we wanted to go. That at the moment is the main source of optimism for me in terms of how do we get Mo Salah back into position where he can score goals and get more confident.
The thing about him being in position, and I noticed it yesterday, every time he did drift inside and he did get like within the parameters of the 18-yard box, there was three men on him. It's not like defenders are like are forgetting about him. The minute he does do the things that we know him to do, opposition players are doing what they've always done and just smothered.
But you know what, Robbie, when he's receiving the ball, you know where he's receiving it? He's receiving it wide of the fullback.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And he used to receive the ball inside the fullback between him and the centre half, and he's far easier to box in with two or three lads when he's wider than the touchlines behind him.
Yeah. Which for me makes the manager's comments after the game all the more baffling about him not being further out, because he obviously is.
We're adding two extra hurdles for him to have to go and jump to get through into the box, and that's what I don't understand.
I'm uncomfortable with your most important player becoming an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
Because that's your argument, that the platform's going to come through Elliott and that's how you're going to, for instance, liberate Salah. I'm sort of, in a sense, I'm all right with it as long as as long as we remember the focus should be Salah.
Yes.
And that's what I'm worried appears to have gone. Now, the manager might think otherwise, but in terms of what I'm seeing, I feel like the focus isn't Salah.
No.
And I think that the focus needs to be Salah. I think he's your most... And if you look at genuinely, you know, the greatest blessing, not just the money, of the sale of Coutinho, was it completely removed any questions about who Liverpool's most important player was.
Yeah.
It was the fellow who plays off the wide right.
But at the moment, in this precise moment in time where we're at, I don't know whether or not it's a directive, but it's certainly how it looks on the pitch. From the player's perspective, the most important player is Nunes, because they want to get him up to speed as quick as possible. Yeah. So all of the focus is going in that way. That's probably why there's not enough focus on Salah. What I'm hoping is that once that happens, once Nunes is scoring goals, defenders will start going towards him, which will give Salah more space, yeah, and then we'll start to see it drift through. But this is all me hoping this is going to happen rather than me saying this is definitely going to happen, by the way.
Okay. Mo asked before, he said he's intrigued to see what the front line will be against Napoli. Robbie, there's the most break it's possible for them to have over this period, Saturday morning until Wednesday evening for a Champions League game. What do you think the forward line, what do you think the full team will be against Napoli? I think there's four or five we could do with the rest. I'm just not entirely sure how we get to them one.
I think it's going to be Nunes, Jota, Salah against Napoli. Because I think, as been pointed out, Nunes in the Champions League, I think he's used to it. And I think it's actually an opportunity to utilise some of his other attributes, which we haven't been able to see thus far. I mean, you could argue that it might be a bit a game too early for Jota to start, but I think he just looked sharp when he came on.
And you've got the five subs.
Exactly, you've got all the subs. Carvalho's picked up a knock, so I doubt he's going to be available. It doesn't look like it's too serious, but I doubt he'll risk him. And I think Mo's Mo, and it's just a case of, like, whatever the issue is, if it's an issue of form or if it's an issue of position, if he's that good that you can play him back into form. If it's an issue of position, you just sort his fucking position out. Do you know what I mean?
Stand over there.
Yeah. And
what's in the midfield or be in defence? I mean, pick me a team, and yeah, all of you pick me a team.
Oh, I've got midfield. Midfield, so I think Arthur.
Arthur.
I think he'll start Arthur. I don't know if Fabinho, there's a big, massive thing for Fabinho for me at the moment. And I don't know what it is. For 9 months, I just don't think he's looked it. I said to you before, the Nymo, I think offensively and defensively, he has found wanting. There was a moment, you see, where Harvey Elliott plays a square ball to him, and he's just on his heels. It was a perfect ball just to progress. If he picks it up and recycles it and puts it out to the flank, we arguably get in. The lad's on his heels, Everton intercepts and they're away. And it's just happening more and more. I don't know whether he'll be looking to give him a rest. And if that's the case, will he put Milner in? I think he might put Milner in. It's such a tricky one, getting the balance, because you don't want to put Arthur in with players.
Yeah.
In what is already a hotspot midfield. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. I think it's really interesting, because I think that you suddenly got five forwards to pick from Mo. And I suspect, as Robbie's saying, if they really wanted to pick Carvalho, they could get him on the pitch one way or the other, but they're going to try and rest him. But then as you move backwards, I'm thinking there's about five of them I'd quite like to give a rest to. And I can't give a rest to five of them. Like, no, I wouldn't be averse to Van Dijk not starting away at Napoli. I wouldn't be averse to going Gomez and Matip and doing it that way. But then there's a part of me going, but do I want to give Gomez another game? And then there's a part of me going, but I might also start Gomez at right back. And frankly, there's only one Joe Gomez, and I mean that both as a positive and as a problem in amongst all of this. And then I think Fabinho's crying out for a rest, but I think if you're going to give Arthur his debut, you probably want to make it Arthur and Fabinho, and then one other, and then maybe you can change it on the hour mark. I think the most important thing about this game against Napoli genuinely is it's our hardest game in the whole group.
Yeah,
we could go with a flying first 11, as has happened in the past to Naples,
and still lose.
So we need to acknowledge that. But also, it's one of the very few games we get to play in a season where it kicks off 0-0 and we take 0-0 at the 90th minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's room for him to do a bit of messing about. And I hope he does take this opportunity to maybe do a little bit of messing about. Maybe even let Tsimikas have another start back to back in there. Maybe do look at Gomez at right back. Maybe do start Fabinho, but be prepared to bring Bacevic on for him.
Yes.
Not anyone. Do you know what I mean? I think there's room for him to do stuff that's a little bit out of the ordinary.
There is. I think the other thing that he will be remembering in the deep dark recesses of his mind is that we can lose Napoli away and still qualify because we've literally done that twice already. So there is that element of, yeah, you don't want to go there and have a bad defeat from morale and all those kind of things, but you can kind of wear a defeat in terms of the ultimate aims for the season. So that might come into his thinking. The fact that Milner didn't start the derby makes me think that I'm like you, Robbie, that he's going to come in. I think it might be Artur, Fabinho, Milner as the three in the midfield.
I think the rest, Elliot.
Yeah, I would also agree. I think for Elliot, again, not just because of the atmosphere in terms of the, going to that kind of game, it's just in terms of the way those games kind of go with not just the physical nature, but there's a lot of bypassing midfield in general. Yeah. Whenever we play Napoli, so it doesn't really feel like the best game for him. For Artur, I think an remarked part of this is for him to get used to the new league and the new team at the same time is tough. So with him playing it against an Italian team in Naples means he's getting used to the team and not the league. So yeah, that his first game in, we just get his feet under him a little bit and then we can start to deal with one thing after another. So I think that makes a load of sense. Up front, I think, again, if you the idea of Marcelo needing a rest is true, but we've never seen him have a rest. And the only guy I would really want to see in his spot from the forwards is Diaz, and he probably will get the rest. So Salah plays. I'm like you. I'd bring Jota in and probably Nunes as well. Firmino, we've seen what he's like off the bench. He did a great job away in Inter, so hopefully he can reprise that. The defence, I think the idea of Van Dijk not playing would probably get a lot of tongues wagging, but I would definitely not be against it either. I think that he's like Salah in terms of he's never one who's going to come to the boss and say, I could do with a break here, but there's times when he could. And this might be one of those times. The fact that Trent came off means that he is going to play in this game. So that allows Gomez and Matic to play between him. And I'm probably bringing Robbo back as well.
Not Trent for me. I know he came off and so the expectation would be that he'll play, but I wouldn't play him. I'd play Gomez right back and Matip. I'd like a bit of big bowl of Matip at the back, please. A nice bit of calm there. I think his experience, I think Joe Gomez, his defensive attributes away at Napoli in that right back position would be great. And I think we try and nick it. I think it's one of those games where we just try and kill the game a little bit. I'd like to see us bore the life out of him and nick it. I think Jota gets an hour. Whether he starts on the left or whether he starts up front, I think he gets an hour. And I think I wouldn't mind having the answer to that Curtis Jones question before because I'd have played Curtis Jones against Napoli. I think Fabinho, Artur, Jones, or a Fabinho, Milner, Jones, that would have worked because he gets on the ball and he holds the ball. And, he can run into space, he can keep the ball, he can take his thing out of a game. It's not just recycling the ball with him. And I think we need to have always someone in the midfield today who can do a little bit of that, who is a little bit different. That's where I'd go.
One thing is, I might actually come over to your side of the fence on the whole Trent Gomez thing.
The kid that we were talking about.
Yeah, I'm just like trying to pronounce his name.
I'm looking at it now. It's Kvaratskhelia, Gallia, I think. Yeah. And he's...
He looks a very good prospect, and he scored, I think, 4 goals already this season, and he's going to be gunning for that position, and he's going to be believing that he's going to have lots of space to work into if he's playing up against Trent.
They've done us in wide areas before. Yeah. I know it was under Ancelotti, but they've done us in wide with good switches. They've caught us out, and I think it was more, I think we were more commonly picked off on Robbo's side, if I remember rightly. Didn't he give away a pen, and then he got caught out a couple of times? But they know there's their way home, I think, against us is probably to try and target those big switches.
The dangerous, Victor Omerson is a cracking player as well. Mm. And it's like, you talk about Everton utilising pace to attackers yesterday, like Napoli have got it, they've got truckloads of it. So I think that wouldn't be a bad shout at all.
All right, last little thing before we wrap up. Is City dropping points as well, Robbie? It's weird in that, I think we're very, very down on Liverpool's season so far. Only 2 wins out of 6. And the fact that at times you've been watching City and have looked absolutely imperious. Now, let's be clear about this. We look a million miles away from going on a run at the moment. We've got to be honest about that. But the flip side is, whilst it's only 5 points, It's only 5 points. And I'm amazed it's only five. It feels like about 25 in my head, which is more points than we've already played for. But I'm stunned it's only 5 points. I really am. And whilst this remains the case, we've just gotta find our way to improve soon. We get some points on the board here. You never know what this table looks like when we get to the World Cup.
It's mad, isn't it? It's mad. Like the difference is literally Ireland. The times that City, I said this to you the other day, a lot of the City games that I've watched this season are a lot more competitive than they have been in previous seasons. Teams are getting at them. Newcastle got at them. Palace got at them. Villa got at them. The difference has just been, it's just been Ireland. And he's like, he's picking goals out of nowhere. I mean, I'd love to see his expected goals, actually, because but a lot of the goals are just like,
he's just there.
And come the end of the season, we talk about fine margins, it might just be a case of, their striker managed to settle quicker than us. Yeah. It could just end up being that. He's so formidable. And they're not playing badly. I don't think for a minute like they're getting lucky, because they are playing well to an extent. But like Mo said before, all these teams are changing, and City aren't immune to that.
Right.
City aren't immune to that. And I think we're just kind of seeing that coming out in the wash.
The thing with City, they've been behind in games and not losing those games, and that's been painted as a good thing for them in terms of attitude and all that kind of thing. That's what champions do. But if you do it a lot of times in a row, eventually you're going to get beat. And who are they playing next week? Oh, yeah, that's Spurs. So they're playing Spurs, we're playing Wolves. We saw what happened to them against Spurs last season. If it happens again this season and we beat Wolves, that 5 points is suddenly two.
Yeah.
I think it's dead funny, because both teams, Liverpool and City, and us to a sort of far worse degree, as we've seen over the last few weeks, but we've both given up elements of control this year. City have signed, Haaland might be, built like a lumberjack and, runs like a train, but he's a poacher. Yeah. He is an absolute prime machine of a goal poacher. He is in the Pomo. He is in the Pomo.
Lives there. Absolutely. Gets his mail delivered there.
Yeah. And it's a flow state.
Yeah. And because got a Pomo PO box.
And I just think it's dead ironic that Guardiola, it always seemed like he never really quite fancied Aguero, which sounds mad. But he's gone completely all in that way now to get a poacher in. And it has, without doubt, sacrifice some control, because he doesn't get on the ball much. What was it, the game a couple of weeks ago? He took the ball 7-8 times, And I think one of them was an assist, fair enough, but he's not in the game. He's not in the game. And so their midfield, their sheer dominance in that weight of numbers isn't quite there, and teams are getting at them a little bit more now as well. But it's the risk he's willing to take, and I think by the looks of it, it's going to pay off, because we're crap.
They only have two shots after Villa go 1-1. There's 15 minutes of the game left, but more than 15 minutes, 20 minutes including injury time. They only have two shots, and neither of them are very good. And this is the interesting little City thing is I think if it's interesting with 70 on the clock, I think it's very interesting. If it's not interesting, but there's going to be a lot of games where it's not interesting with 70 on the clock.
Can I just point out as well with him? He is a player that often goes missing for a couple of months in a season. Yeah. And if that is the case, and they have given up that control, and he does go missing, what does that then do?
They have got the other lad, haven't he?
And he looks very good, actually.
Yeah, he's a very different type of player. Community Shield.
Yeah.
He's more in the Aguero mould, that kid. But I think City, just because they are winning, the kind of like it's kind of going under the radar that this is happening. But I think the season's just going to throw up so many kind of variables that we haven't seen yet.
Arsenal look terrific, by the way. They look absolutely terrific.
Big game this afternoon for them to see how that goes. We're recording this on Sunday morning. Listen, thank you very much to Robbie, to Mo and to Stu. There was a joint statement put out by Liverpool and Everton yesterday around the racist and offensive graffiti that has taken place. I think what's difficult dealing with something like this is that ultimately we know, and we've known for years in the Merseyside derby, in lots of ways there's no moral high ground, and there's tit for tat absolutely everywhere in a number of different ways. But to be absolutely crystal clear about it, the joint statement is in a couple of ways really rather irritating, because ultimately there's no place for racism. A lot of what's gone on around the Merseyside derby, people may or may not have found disgusting from supporters of either side, but it escalating to the point of an act of racism on a Liverpool mural is really, really, really rather deeply depressing. And this isn't a both sides thing. Maybe there's more to come out, and maybe it might well be at some sort of point. But as it stands, this isn't a both sides thing. And I think that joint statements need to acknowledge that, that there is something that needs to be addressed here, and it needs to be addressed fast. It is hate speech, and it is against a protected characteristic. And we've seen that, you know, we've had to put up with an idea that what is or isn't a protected characteristic matters. For instance, obscene and horrible chants about Hillsborough are not covered as a protected characteristic, whereas other chants in football matches are, and that's why clubs are compelled, rightly, I hasten to add, to apologise. In this instance, that is what has happened. It has happened in a spate of graffiti that's taken place around Anfield, and I think that statement should be worded carefully to acknowledge specifically that, and there should be action plans to deal with it very, very quickly indeed. Thank you very much again to Robbie, to Mo and to Stu. I'm sure that'll come back around at a later date, but that's currently where we are, and there I was simply speaking for myself and for nobody else. Sports Social Podcast Network.